My presentation is called Using Your Noodle on the Moodle. A little bit about myself. First of all, here's my thinking. Number one is, who's familiar with Moodle? How many people use Moodle? How many people use Moodle? I should ask that. How many people are familiar with, heard something about the Moodle? Okay. Here's my thinking about this whole process is, as I've attended this conference, and there's a lot of talk about Web 2.0. Anybody hear about Web 2.0? Mm-hmm. And it's really talking about, you know, getting kids involved with the materials and doing things interactive and having kids' input. And then I started thinking about the conference here. And look, here I am standing up front. You know, we're talking about Web 2.0, and yet we go to these conferences, and it's like the complete opposite of what we're trying to get across to our students. And so, you know, I try not to plan out too much of what I'm going to say, because I want to hear what people want to know and what questions people want to know, rather than me just sit up here or stand up here talking, because after a while, you're going to get tired of it. And you're going to think, oh, this is what I like. One of the things that people always ask me, what does Moodle stand for? And I can never remember. So that's what it stands for. And this is just running by itself for some reason. And I can't keep up with it. But I didn't think I had another. So I'm just going to do it the old-fashioned way. I used to, like, spend hours putting together PowerPoint presentations, you know, and getting the fancy transitions and all that. And I thought, you know, PowerPoint's great. But as I move more to like Web 2.0 and interactive stuff, I really don't care about the transitions anymore or whether they look fancy or not. What I really want to do is get into the content of the stuff. So I kind of, as you can tell, I've totally screwed this up. And that's okay, because it's really what the content is. Here's what I am. I'm finishing up my doctorate degree at University of Delaware. I'm from New Jersey. So when I got off the plane, another New Jersey person? When I got off that plane Tuesday night, it was just like, wow. You know, and then I hear people, I'm taking the shuttle from the hotel this morning, and people are, you know, ooh, it's so cold this morning.
Yeah, right.
You people are soft. Stop! You know, it felt like, oh, good, I like it cool in the morning, you know? There's nothing worse than getting up on a hot and humid
back home.
So, it is. Don't tell me, I got to take a plane right after this. I'm also a tech coordinator in the school district, which kind of means I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I do everything from make sure the computers are running to the network's running, but more of my attention has moved more into working with teachers collaboratively, and that's what I'll talk about with the Moodle, how what I see the Moodle being as a real tool for professional development is that if you, you know, the problem is professional development, once again, that's what I'm about to say. You come into a room, you go for a day, you get this training, you're sent back to the classroom, and it's like, good luck. You know, if you have any questions, figure it out yourself. So what I learned in going through the program of going at Delaware is that you really got to get in there with the teachers. You got to get into the classroom if you're going to do professional development. If you really want it to be successful, you got to get in there, roll up your sleeves, and make it work. And work right alongside them. So my superintendent a couple years ago said, you know, we want to do this collaborative plan. Instead of the individual teacher plans every year you have to do, we want to do collaborative. So the teachers came to me and said, let's do something collaborative. So I was like, okay, we'll do this. And I went to NEC in San Diego, another warm climate. And the big talk was open source in this Moodle. So I really started catching on to this idea of Moodle. And initially, I spent like the summers before I was building these web pages for teachers and doing all this stuff. And then when Moodle came along, as you'll see, and for those that know, it's like it does a lot of the work for you. So it's like, I don't have to do all this stuff. I really want to get in there and work with teachers. So that's what I did. The other thing is that I did this spring is, how many people are familiar with Lodi? Anybody familiar with Lodi? Lodi is Christopher Morse came up with this whole assessment tool, 21st Century Details Questionnaire. It's free to all teachers. You can go on to the Lodi Labs, sign up, and take the Lodi survey. Here's the big other problem with professional development is that we throw everybody in the same room. We don't know what skill level they are, but we think somehow we're going to get it. And what Lodi is great for, and how I use it in conjunction with Moodle is that now I can be able to take and know where people are at, like where are their personal computer skills, you know, and where are their levels of technology integration, their implementation, their classroom, and where are their current instructional practices. Because, you know, the whole idea about the Moodle, which is different, I think, than Blackboard or WebCT, is that it takes a more constructive approach. You really want to get kids involved with the process. You don't want them just to be a repository for your teachers. The idea is to move it beyond that. And the whole idea with the Lodi assessment is it really gives you a good gauge where you can begin to work with teachers, where they're at, instead of just guessing where they're at. So I decided, you know, part of this is I needed to do that, so I did that. And I've been involved in technology for a while, and my big thing is integration, not use. You know, people think like I'm doing here. You know, oh, this is integration. No, it's not. I'm just using this stuff. I'm not integrating what I'm doing. And the idea is really to, you know, or the other thing is, oh, let's get, see how many smart boards or Promethean active boards we get in the school. The projection is, so when people come to our school, it looks really cool. Like, we're really on the cutting edge. But if you don't utilize, you don't train teachers to be able to utilize it, then it's just for show. And, you know, any of the students? They're out having cocktails. That's right. You know, unfortunately nowadays is that sometimes administrators are all about shows, what look good. And they don't know what's behind the technology. For example, we had every teacher in our district do the Lodi questionnaire. And we have, not a small school district, we have four administrators. Guess how many did the questionnaire? We were lucky, we had two.
Wow.
Two out of the four. But did they come back and learn what the results are? No, they always come back again. But, you know, the thing is, anybody familiar with Cuban's book, Oversold and Underused? Great book. What it talks about is it talks about we bring this all this technology into the school, and yet we're still using traditional teaching methods. With the technology, like I'm doing here, and I'm using the traditional teaching method. You're sitting here thinking, yeah, right? And I'm up here kind of lecturing. And that's the thing that Cuban talks about, is that in order to be able to truly integrate technology, we have to change our teaching style and go from a teacher-centered approach to a student-centered approach. We need a more constructive approach in our education. And it's harder for people with this, you know, with no child left behind. Because teachers, I show this Google stuff to them, and they think it's great, but, you know, I got to get three kids ready for, in New Jersey, it's HEPA and NEPA. You know, it's a somebody was telling me in Florida it's the FC. Yeah, and they want to say something other than, you know. They changed the initials around. That's all I'll say about that. As I said, that's what it stands for, because everybody asked me, what's it stand for? And I never remember. Everybody know the history of it. I'm not going to go too much into that. Okay, so I've given enough blah, blah, blah talk. And this is how they define a Moodle. It's a verb meaning to let the mind or body wander and do something creative, but without particular purpose. That's me. I, you know, and that's the thing I love to do with the kids. Is you know, and some teachers are, and some people when I do these presentations, freak out because I just go off on tangents, and you know, some people are just like, they got everything correct, you know, in certain order, A, B, C, D, and other people just flourish that way. So that's the way I flourish, and that's kind of who I am. Learning management, you know, this is important. It's a very social constructivist approach. You know, Blackboard WebCT came out, and it's really kind of flat, and what Moodle tried to open up is to make it more interactive with the kids. And lecture versus discussion. And here's, I'll put this up on my site so you have, if it's of interest. Here's a comparison with everything. Important part is that a Moodle is a hungry beast. I tell teachers all the time when we work on this, is that if you don't use it and you don't keep up with it, it just kind of dies. It's like a plant. You know, you get people on water and it eventually dies. some teachers will get real excited the first time they do this, and then they just don't put anything up there. And I tell them, I said, you know, if you're not doing anything with it, you're not interacting with it, the kids aren't going to interact with it. Because they don't see the connection. So, you've got to keep speed in it. Let's get to the real stuff. Here's a website I set up. This is my Moodle website. What I started to do is I've created on here different sections. I've got a Moodle 101, people that are interested in Lodi. I've got a section on Lodi, podcasting, video, casting, and iPods, tech integration, and then I put things up for conferences that I present at. The great thing about the Moodle is usually when you hear about like YouTube, what's the first reaction be for people with YouTube? With kids? Oh, God, right. Oh, God. Don't let them on YouTube. Great thing about Moodle, this is a actually coming off, streaming off of YouTube, and I can put it on my Moodle site. And so even though it's coming from YouTube, you don't know it. You don't go to YouTube to see it. Anybody ever see this blog first wiki on YouTube? What it does, it takes the Nixon-Kennedy debate from 1960, and what it does, it voices over and does a debate on blogs versus wikis, and it really explains the whole difference between what's the difference between a blog and a wiki in a kind of humorous way. Now, for some of us that are a little bit older, we'll tend to remember the Kennedy-Nixon debate more than others, all right, and we know who we are, but it's a great way to use it. Okay? So, what is going to work best for people right now? What do you want to know? I can show you, kind of take a tour of this site, the site I've set up for school. But really, what do people want to know? Don't be shy. What do people want to know?
I want to know how it works and how you get it going.
Great question. How it works and how you get it going. First thing you need to do is you need to have some place to host it. Now, whether that's your school server, what I did is, last year with the collaboration I did with the teachers, is what I did is I use a web hosting service. Right now, this is hosted by Postmonster.com. It cost me, I think, $5 a month to have it hosted. And I just uploaded all the files I need. It's all open source. Everybody know what open source is, right? The one word that people identify open source with is
free.
And then people, the next question people ask is always, how do they do that? You know, how do they do that? So what you need is, go ahead.
The hosting company has to be letting it be in space.
It could be, this one is. It actually, at school, I have a Windows server. What I did is I took, and there's all these trials and tribulations with it, is last year the collaborative teachers, I had three teachers I collaborated with to show them, to introduce them to Moodle. And so for me to host them on that service wasn't bad. Now we've opened it up. In fact, last week I just trained teachers on how to set up a Moodle. And I took our school board, which is the other interesting thing, is I can take a used school board office server because they wanted a newer one. And I used that to set up the Moodle. So they were going to get rid of it. I took it and just made it into our Moodle server. Now, that was the good news. Bad news is it's such an old server that sometimes if we have the kids going to the lab and there's 26 kids hitting that site at once, that server just bogs down. So that was the lesson I've learned. So I put in next year to get a higher, you know, faster processor. Computer for it. Yeah, Ben?
So did you say that you set a Moodle on your server and that was free?
At school?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, as opposed to, say, WebCC or Blackboard, when you set it up on your server, you still have to pay them something.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Is that amazing? What's that?
The software from Moodle was all free.
Yeah, it's all free stuff. And that's because people's mind, they just can't believe it. Oh, what's the catch? You know, it's like, you know, the infomercial. You know, send away, you know, it's free. You know, and then it's, you know, $29.95 for shipping and handling, and then, you know, if you keep it over 30 days, they want to just have more, you know, it's all free stuff. Because a lot of the stuff is done by educators. And it's you know, coming rather, you know, the trouble with WebCT and Blackboard, and whoever uses it, that's fine. You're going to miss the prizes.
No, we're fine. My daughter just plays.
That's okay. modules, and they were there's a module called my file. And I loaded that onto our Moodle site. Now what can happen is the kids can go into log into the Moodle, they can take their files from home, upload them to the Moodle, come into school, and now there's the file. Hey, like that? Yeah. You know, and the thing, here's the thing. Am I emphatic enough about that? You know, I constantly have to remind some teachers, and I'm sure none of you are like this in this room, that it's not, you know, when I introduce Moodle to them, it's not a computer thing. Because guess what? Some teachers will say to me, as soon as I say, well, now for my files, they can put the files on, and I don't have to worry about it. You know, they can get it, they're there. And guess what? Some teacher reaction is, shut up, they don't have any excuses. You know? And I tell them, that's not what it's about. You know, that's not what it's about. With that, they were now able to do this project, bring their files back and forth to each other. The next step is, she decided after this electronic book was done, she thought, wow, this Moodle stuff is great. I'm going to do it for novel studies. And I'm going to be able to do it in a way that I could do it for novel studies with seventh grade language arts teachers. What do you think I should do? So I said, go on the Moodle site. Pose a question. So I'm going to show you, if I might. Here she went, here. And there's a section on the Moodle site. Here's the Moodle.org site. Great site. There's free support. And it is free, okay? Really, it's free. Any questions about that? Anybody paranoid about it? Yes?
Oftentimes open source, you know, when they say here's your tech support, there really isn't tech support. What has been your response with tech support for Moodle? I mean, is there somebody there? Is there anyone?
Free support. It's great. I'm telling you, I'll show you the example with this teacher, and it applies same with technical issues. She wanted to do novel studies. So this was last year, keep in mind. So there's a section in here. Really, there is. Moodle K through 12. All right? So she went into there. Like I said, she went into there. And she was going into there.
So how is it structured?
Thank you. You know, we got to remind people, anybody have a stopwatch? We got to remind people that every, like, 5 minutes. This is free, all right? Yeah, so every good time to every 5 minutes. Why don't you come up? Yes. Yes. Well, there's all these web hosting services, like postmonster101.com, all these ones that, you know, have these hosting services. They're hosting services. And you can register your domain, whatever that domain will be, and for like, you know, anywhere from $3.95 to like $5.95, they'll host your website for you. So that you don't really have, other than uploading things to it and maybe doing updates as Moodle updates come out, they basically do all the server work for you.
You have your own servers in-house.
Yeah, if you have your own server in-house and you can set it up on, you can do it that way. I use the hosting service for my own Moodle site because I just, as you can tell, you know, I got my Moodle shirt on. I'm so into this. It gets me very excited and, you know. So anyway, but you can have any service or your school do it, yes.
There are also services that have one-click installs and auto-installs so that you don't even have to worry about how to install.
That was the nice thing I liked about HostMonster. HostMonster, I went in and I looked to see what the most reputable. These are good people. Moodle Rooms also do hosting. I don't get anything really out of that. Now, if you get the books, I get a little divot. But this, I don't get anything. I just kind of struck up a conversation with these folks when they're good people. They're all educators that started that. So anyway, going back to this teacher, she, and I always skip over her. Here she is. She's using a Moodle for a novel study. Now, this will kind of give you an idea of how quick of a response you get. A lot quicker than this is coming up on the screen. Okay. If we all stare at it, okay, and will it. So while that's waiting, any
So what about those little icons? Do you put your own picture up there?
Yeah, you put your own picture. You go into your edit your profile, and you can put your own picture up there, or the default is a smiley face like you see. Okay, here she is. Now, this is the important thing to look at. Getting back to your question. She posted this. Notice it was May 7th at 10:48 a.m. Okay? By 10:07, 12:26, she was already getting responses to her question. And guess how much this costs? Do we have time for this yet? Free. It was free. So in that quick of time, and it's the same with technical issues, people are on there all the time. I get a feed from the user Moodle, and I get tons of emails from the feed with people asking questions, people responding. It's a great community of educators because everybody's in there to help each other out. People get stuck, but I've got stuck. I've gone there to ask questions, and I get responses pretty quickly. So it's a great community to work from.
So it's just a peer-to-peer community.
Yeah.
There's no technical support,
no.
Say, from a Moodle.
No. But it's interesting you mentioned that. I went to a... Now, for some people, that's a real issue. I went last year. I was visiting a conference, and Blackboard was there. And I went to a... I like to be more realized a lot. And I asked them, why should I go to Blackboard versus Moodle that's free? The only thing that you could tell me was they provide support. Now, anybody have Blackboard here? How much do you spend a year on that? You know?
A lot.
We have about 200 users that are on our licenses. We're not using it as much. This course is almost $4,600.
Was that? Right. If you really need a service, exactly. There's places. I mean, Moodle Room will offer support for that. There's all different. I mean, I haven't had to rely on anybody outside the community group. Any problems I have, and I've kind of given myself as being somewhat tech savvy. So I would say look at that as a good resource. Okay. So like I said, I mean, she posed a question. Within a few hours, already had a response. And that's pretty much true for everything there. Here's our school's Moodle site. Now, I just started training another group of teachers last week, starting to use it. Right? Now, granted, some are using it more than others. Some I just started training and are starting to use it. But we're a small school district, K through 8th. This is just the mostly middle school teachers that are starting to use it. All right, so, and the list goes on and on. I'm going to take you into sixth grade social studies. What I find is, and it gets back to the whole Lodi thing, is that you really got to find teachers' comfort level. And initially, what you're going to have to do is find where they're at kind of teaching philosophy-wise. Is that some teachers feel comfortable most starting off as it being kind of a place to put assignments, to put information about they want to disseminate to kids. But the other great thing is we're doing podcasts with the sixth graders on ancient Egypt, rather. So what we did is we set up discussion boards for the kids to communicate with each other. So they can actually go in there and post things. We have our anchors that are working. Okay? And they can post information back and forth to each other. Okay? And here's just them, they'll list stuff on it about what they want to do about, like, remembering the meeting. We've got kids coming in. I'm just going to kind of go back here real quick. Let me get back here. I just want to show you something real quick. Here's a bunch of kids working on the Ancient Egypt podcast. All right. What we just decided to do is have a few anchors to put everything together. Guess when they're coming in to do this? Recess. Lunch. Every day they're coming in. Do I have to beg them? Do I have to plead with them? No. If I'm off doing something like, I space stuff out, and I may be running over doing something, and I'll get a page from the main office, and the kids will be waiting at my door for me to get started on this. And I guarantee when they get done with this. And the other thing is, and I'm sure everybody's worked with technology, you may think, okay, well, I'm going to spend a week Jackson, all that other stuff, but we never have time. And you can tell these kids are here at lunchtime because, look, there they are, eating their sandwiches and working, putting together. It's really nice. What we do is, I found the best thing to use for podcasting, and I'm kind of a PC person, is a Mac with GarageBand. It's the best to do podcasts with, in my opinion.
What is it called again?
GarageBand.
GarageBand.
It's on the Mac. In fact, I went out and bought a little mini Mac. Alright? Now some people think I'm crazy, but I bought a little mini Mac just so I could do a podcast with the kids. You know? That's the only thing I really use that for is to do a podcast. But GarageBand, I looked at all different ones. From Audacity. If you come back in a couple weeks. Sorry. Here was my plan. See, planning. I planned to have them finish it by the time I got here so I could publish it. They weren't done. We had this podcast put together. There's probably 90 kids that are participating in this podcast, and then I have a group of anchors that are putting it all together. So I promise you, it will be on there. Okay? I just don't have it with me. I apologize for that. So they come in every day at lunch and recess, and they work on it. Good. And here's our lone male that's one of the anchors. Yes?
How much of your kids are using a computer at home, a Moodle, or do you have a problem with students not having a computer at home but interacting with Moodle?
We're fortunate. In our district, there's probably about 95% of kids that have computers on. And that's a fortunate thing. What I am trying to work with group teachers doing now is work. We have an educational foundation, and we just are getting ready to release a new batch of computers. And what I want to try to do is work with other teachers and the foundation. And we have our big cable provider in our area is Comcast. Nowadays, who doesn't have Comcast? Is to try to get in contact with them and see. I mean, because you figure if you have a community that 75% of people have cable TV through Comcast, it's like, okay, it's now time for you to step up to the plate and service your community. And what I want to do, because the big concern is the whole idea of digital divide, is to be able to provide. We're getting all these new computers. Let's take some of the ones, they're still good computers, they're Pentium 4s or Pentium 3s. Let's take them, fix them up, and let's distribute them to the community, and let's go to Comcast and say, it's time for you to set up a plate, provide internet service for these kids. The other thing that we're trying to do is, we've got a library, a media center in our computer, and it's to be able to offer time in the evenings for people to be able to come in. Be able to utilize it. I tend to prefer, trying to get the computers and be able to give them to the people at home, because why should that be any different for them? Why do they have to make the extended effort when other kids have the computers at home? So that's kind of where we're at with the kind of digital divide. Yes?
The discussion, did you start it in the forum?
Here's a great thing. Let me talk about that. Part of it is about giving up control. Sometimes as educators we like control. Okay? Admit it yourself, this is really about letting go of control. And when we first set up the forums, I would set up, okay, if there's not a forum you like, you tell me what you would like and I'll set it up for you. Well then once again I thought, if we're gonna really make this a part of the kids and they're gonna have a set. So I went out to the Moodle site. I found a module called Forum Plus. And Forum Plus, what that does is the kids can create their own discussion forums. Yeah, it's a module. So by putting the Forum Plus module into our Moodle site, now the kids can create their own discussion threads. They don't have to rely on me, come to me and leave a message like one another. Because I have one, ask Mr. Taylor a question. Yes? Forum and a wiki. Forum is more of I guess the best way to describe it is like a conversation Like, you say something, I say something. And Wiki, you know, it's built upon each day. And that's basically the difference.
How do you add on those modules?
How do you add on those modules? Do you show you? If you get one of my CDs, it shows you how. No, I'll show you. It actually shows you how to do that.
Yeah.
What's that?
I
only have 30. So I'm going to throw them in the middle of the room, okay, at the end, and watch everybody scramble.
How about you work in northern states?
If.
Just show us. Please do show us.
Thank you. If I go to the Moodle site, do you need to see where you get it at the Moodle site and the whole process? Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to go to Moodle. Okay, while that's doing that, I'm going to load up. Do you think I have enough programs on this computer? I need a few more. Okay, I'm going to load that up while that's going. Here comes the train. Okay, here I am. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Modules and Plugins. All right, and if I go into Modules and Plugins, it's going to list all the different varieties of modules and plugins they have. So that's the one thing I need. The other thing I need is I use this thing called Ipswitch, which is an FTP publisher, so I can throw files back and forth. And also I have there's a free one, I think it's Simple FTP, that I have on here that you can take with you. Okay, so what I do is I go in here, and I can look through all the modules. And they'll give brief descriptions. Okay, so, like when I really wanted to get teachers using like YouTube or TeacherTube or some kind of being able to video stream. And so what I do is I just look through these and they'll give a brief description of what they are. You know, if you need a grade book, appointments. And you can see, as I scroll through, there's a lot. Okay? And these are all
free.
Thank you. All right, so I can find one, and there'll be descriptions. I'm just going to grab one. Let's see. Let's just grab an enhanced glossary. All right, maybe I want to be able to have a glossary of terms. I'll grab this. And the nice thing about it is usually they'll have information about what the module is and descriptions, and they'll also have, like, documentation and to be able to download the latest version. So if I click on that, here it is. I just save it. And I save it somewhere. Let me just save it on my desktop. Okay? And it's saved. Okay? And it comes compressed. So there it is. Okay? It's in a compressed format. What I'm going to do is I'm going to... Now, this is where it gets a little tricky. And if you're not sure, I show you this on the little tutorial. And it's also on my Moodle site. So if it gets overwhelming. So basically, it broke it down into two files. All right, there's the filter. Okay, so what I do is I go into my what's called my Ipswitch FTP, and what I need to do is I got to get out of my blog section. I'm going to go into, there's a folder in here called Moodle. Okay, and inside that Moodle folder, there's a mod folder. Okay, and you can see these are all my little modules that I have. All I would have to do is just take this. Let me go back. All I would need to do is take this and copy it over, okay? I'm not going to do that. Is that all right if I don't do it because I really don't want that module?
Okay, we got it.
Okay, now there's two steps to it. What I have to do is I have to copy that over into this mod folder. That's the first step, okay? The second step is I have to go up, all right? And there's also there's a folder called Lang. That's for language. In order to have, like, each module has, like, may have a button or saying or something, a part of it associated with it. And it comes in a variety of different languages. What you have to do is connect that language with that module. So what I would do is go into this lang on this side. Okay, everybody with me? Mm-hmm. This is local. And I would take that and open that up. And there's that language file for that. And then what I would do is I'd go over here to that same folder on my server and copy that over there. When I go back to the Moodle page, okay, if I'm at the main Moodle page, if I click and this is the great part, believe it or not, there's a thing called notification. If I click on that, what it's going to do, it's going to know that I installed that new, that I copied over that new module, and it's going to run through a series and automatically install that module for me and then make it available to me. That's how you would add a module into it, as you found a module. Yes?
If you update to a newer Moodle, does it mess up your class or anything?
I'm updating all the time. I've never had a problem with updates. It'll just move everything over to it. Now, the only thing you have to be careful with, the warning I'll give you, is the one thing you'd be careful with is if I go back here, let me get back here. There are, you'll notice, along here, here it shows kind of like what version of Moodle you need to run it. Some of the modules you have to be careful as you update, they may not be compatible with the newest version, so I would stay away from them. If you run into a problem, what I usually do is just deactivate them, and that clears up the problem. But you want to make sure, like, you know, if you're using one, that you have that version running on your Moodle site. So that's the big cautionary thing. But I go through these probably at least once a week to see if there's new modules on there. Or what I always do, too, is keep an ear to what teachers are saying. Like, geez, I wish there was something for this or something for that. And then I'll go out and look for a module if it's not already in there to see if it can meet their needs. Yes? Okay. What it does is... Let me go back here. Right now, it looks like a web page, sort of, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn editing on. Okay, when I turn editing on, it's going to change the look of it. Yeah, I already logged in before when I was setting up here, so that saved time, my anxiety level. So when I turn editing on, different things happen. I'm going to go in to, let me just go into one of the classes. It's coming. Okay, when I go in here, what's going to happen is all of a sudden I get these drop-down boxes. So I can insert like a web page, a link to a file. Like all these are PDF files that I use that have articles about, you know, Moodle. So I could just simply go in if I want to link to a file. I could just say link to a file or website. And I give it a name. And I call this like sample. I can give it, you know. All right. Now, if I have a file locally that I wanted to do, I just can choose to upload a file. Now, this is the great thing I tell teachers when I start to train them, is how comfortable do you feel adding an email attachment to an email? And most nowadays, most teachers are comfortable with at least that. I tell them, if you can do that, you've got this made. Because it's the same concept, it's the same idea. Yes?
Can you put quotas on there, like each teacher has so much space?
Yes. Yeah, on the courses, you can set up limitations on how big of a file that you want. Like on my Moodle site, actually, believe it or not, you could do an overall. Like actually mine, on my Moodle site, I can do up to a 1.9 gigabyte file if I wanted. But when I create the courses, I could specify how big or how small I want that file to be. Okay? So you could regulate that. Like with the courses at school, a lot of the stuff that the kids hand in and do, I limit it to 5 megabytes. I figure that's plenty of room. Yes?
When you're building your Moodle site, can you test it in your browser on the same computer or do you have to be on the server?
No, you can, anything that's web-based. As long as that server is set up with internet access, like if you set up on your own computer, you know, as a standalone, then you have to be at that computer. But there's also this great service that you can use, and I've got it on the CD, I think it's called DYNS List. And what that does is you can actually set up your home computer. Now, if you like have Comcast, they may not be very happy with you. But you can actually set up your home computer to act as a pseudo server. So say if you wanted to do this, set up at home and you want to introduce it to other teachers in your school, you can actually set up your home as like a fictitious server, and they can actually, it assigns them an address, and you can actually have them go to your home computer as long as you keep it turned on, and they'll look like a Moodle site. Okay? Yes?
Modules work on any platform?
Yep. So here, you know, I've got a bunch of stuff here, but if I wanted to upload a file, I could just upload a file. And I go in here. Does this look like adding an attachment? Mm-hmm. You know, you just browse. You find what you're looking for. Now, I always worry about this because, you know, God knows what's going to show up on it. So here I could go find a file if I wanted to. Here's all my references working on my dissertation. I got, like, obsessive compulsive about there. So here's a file I want. I just say upload this file. Now see if I remember. Notice 9.8 gigs. I thought it was that I could actually put. And what it's going to do, it's going to put it in that list. Now if I can remember the name of the file, after it uploads it, how much time do we have left? Don't worry about it. The only thing I have to worry about is I got to catch a plane at 7:30. It's my only worry. Okay, so where? What was the name of that one? I don't remember. Here it is. So if that was the one I want, right, I could just simply go over here and I say choose that file. It automatically pops it in here. There's the file. Now, here's the thing I could do. I could say I want it in the same window when it shows up, or if I want, I could do a new window where it'll be a pop-up window. And what I tell people to do is, how many people use Google Toolbar? If you use Google Toolbar, the blocking feature, you want to allow pop-ups on your Moodle site. Otherwise, when a file goes to pop up, you're going to sit there, and I get this from kids all the time, it's not working. It didn't work. And it's like, well, make sure you allow pop-ups to your Moodle site. Otherwise, you won't get that. So now I can say new window, and or if I keep the same window, I want to keep that navigation visible. And the navigation is what you see at the top, these navigation tools. And then I just simply say save changes. And what it's going to do, it's going to pop up that page with that PDF file. You can do WAV files, you can do PDF, you can do Word documents, you can do PowerPoint, you can do, you name it, any type of file pretty much, MP3s, you could put onto the Moodle site. And it's going to show up there. It's downloading now. There it is. So now there's my article, PDF. Now I can be able to share that with students, or if I want to do a collaborative with teachers. What I'm trying to do now with teachers is I want to, you know, I've got my own Moodle site with the different courses. What I'm trying to get teachers to do is set up their own course, teacher course, on our school Moodle site so they can collaborate with each other. Yes?
Can you do assessment or testing or quizzes?
Yes. How's that for an answer?
Because I turned it off.
Okay. There's one of the things that I introduced to teachers is there's a great free open source program called Hot Potato Quiz. People familiar with that? Hot Potato Quiz? It's free open source, means it's free. You can actually, it has a module built in here that you can actually do quizzes and tests. But there's also one called Hot Potato Quiz. And I'm going to go back.
What do you prefer?
I prefer Hot Potato Quiz, but I also prefer that it doesn't, that the Moodle just doesn't become a multiple choice platform. That what I want it to become is more a constructivist, student-centered approach, so that you move away from quizzes and tests, and you move into more project-oriented, based things than just testing kids. Because what happens with kids' tests, you know, you take the test,
you stress out.
You stress out, and then you get through the material, and then you forget it because it's on to the next test. And, you know, do we want to educate our kids to become good test takers? Or do we want them to be lifelong learners? I did ask, you're right. My argument Yes?
Could you explain the workshop and the responses? It's called workshop.
Okay.
If you don't get a CD, we're on your site. It's a webpage.
If you go to my Moodle site, I'll get to yours. If you go to my Moodle site, here's Moodle 101. And there,
the address of your site.
I have cards if you need them. It's techinedonline.com, T-E-C-H-I-N-E-D, right up there. And then /Moodle. Here's the tutorials that I talk about. There's one to walk you through login to the Moodle. setting up it on your computer, setting up the database, getting started with the Moodle, and these are all flash videos that will kind of step you through the process. Adding a block, adding a module. There's a YouTube on how a middle school teacher uses it. And what I'm starting to do is I'm starting to actually build tutorials on each of the different modules, like assignments. It's taking me time, and so I'm trying to get that. Here's a great thing. You were asking about workshops, right? So I'm going to click on workshops, and I'm not really sure about workshops, what they are. Notice I have this little question mark here, okay? I could click on that, and it's going to tell me what it is. On how to really set up. What would you like to do?
Well, we're never talking
about it. No, go ahead.
Yeah. I'll wait.
All right. But what for a workshop, it depends really what you want to do. Because there may be other things, and there may be like...
Well, if you're doing a project, you have many documents to go along with it, things that kids are going to do, instead of putting them on an individual assignment, assuming that would allow me to
kind of
project
box together. Well, that's one way. The other thing is with assignments, there's different types of assignments. You can upload a single file or you can multiple files.
Right, but if it's a project, instead of having them all, I'd like them all to color together.
Okay.
Instead of individually listed on the suite.
Okay.
And so I was wondering if the workshop would be the same.
Let me think about that. That's where I would probably look if workshop's not exactly what you're looking for. Just look at the modules to see what's there. I can't think of what's on the top of my head, but I would look at those to see. Any other questions? Yes?
I just want to add, even though it kind of goes against your constructivist teaching, that the tests allow you to import exam view and Blackboard. So if you have something like the exam view, even before it was supported, you could export that to Blackboard and then import that onto the test so that you could use existing test generators.
Okay. I mean, that's my philosophy. And you know, I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong. That's just where I'm approaching it now, more so than before. Hot Potato Quiz, I showed to teachers, they really like that. It's really easy to learn, and it's really easy to import those in, be able to use those. Any other questions? Anything else people want to see? All right, well, I've got this one. It's called Moodle Magic.
One CD per district.
Hey, let me make another suggestion. If you have a card, all right, and you do not get one, I will be happy to mail you one. And guess what? It's when I mail to you, it is
free.
You only have to pay postage. All right, I'll pick up postage. To me, that's what it's about, giving. Okay, this one is okay. It's okay for beginners. I would recommend one of these. And you don't even have to go to my website to get it. Just, you know, wherever you find it. You know, these three are probably better. But for beginners, this is all right. All right, so I've got these in this to give away. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to... What?
Make a birthday.
Okay, hold on. Okay, whose birthday is on the 8th of the month? 8th of the month. We have three? Any other questions? Like I said, I've got the catalogs. There's coupons up here. I want to thank everybody for Friday at 3 o'clock, going to the weekend, coming out for this. I really appreciate it.